We're going to start and talk about the situation that unfolded in Dublin yesterday, as Raed Bhuidearkar was found guilty of attempted murder and also guilty of producing a knife with intent to cause harm as well. In a moment, we'll hear from a journalist who was covering the majority of the three-week trial and the remarkable stories that are coming out of that. But first, we'll hear from an interview with the mother of, known as Just Jo, the mother of the child who was seriously injured and, in fact, clinically dead at one point following on the attack. She spoke exclusively to Sky News and talked about the scene that day when she rushed to the scene and the aftermath.
She said that my daughter had been stabbed, and she was the owner of the after school. She was very upset and she was crying over the phone. I remember blood being drained from my whole body, like I was about to pass out. There were like six people around her. She was on the floor and they were trying to resuscitate her. The person responsible, they were putting him in the ambulance as well because he was injured. And one police officer, he said, they're still working on her. And I said, just let them. You know, like, I can't do anything. So the people who needed to be with her were with her. Yeah.
And at that stage, could you see her?
I saw her shoes. I saw her shoes and I saw when they lifted her. I think there were four people holding her body and they were putting her in the ambulance.
You must have been devastated to see that.
Yeah. I mean, it's burned in my memory.
Did you think you were going to lose her? Did you?
Yeah. And so did the doctors. I've had people say to me, just walking by the street while I was speaking another language to my daughter, they told me to go back home. They told me that I didn't belong. And it is very upsetting. I think that it is concerning, and I think that there has to be some kind of communication or some kind of message shown that there is space for everybody.
Do you think you could ever forgive this person?
I don't know if he even understands what he did. I don't think there is anything to forgive, because I don't think that anybody in their right state of mind would have done that.
So do you feel anger towards him?
No. No. It's not going to change anything.
Yeah, that's the mother of the seriously injured child and the 52-year-old man, Raed Bhuidearkar, who was found guilty of the attempted murder of three children at Parnell Square in Dublin almost 3 years ago. No fixed abode, found guilty of stabbing childcare worker Leanne Flynn as she tried to protect the children and of assaulting two other children and a teenager who intervened to grab the knife he used. And the court heard yesterday that, or over the period of the trial, said that the five-year-old girl most seriously injured in the attacks has been left with a severe lifelong brain injury after he stabbed her in the heart. The jury took almost 5 hours to find him guilty of all eight charges he faced. And Mr. Justice Tony Hunt, who was presiding, said the verdicts were entirely in line with the evidence. And he thanked the jury and said listening to some of what they heard was very difficult. With me on the line to talk about this in more detail now is Mary Carolyn, the Irish Times. Mary, good morning to you. And this, I imagine, was an incredibly difficult trial to cover. Some remarkable stories, I think, of incredible bravery by the people who first were there to try and protect the children, have emerged from this trial.
Yes, absolutely, Gerry. And it was a terribly upsetting case to cover. But as that interview with the little girl's mother showed, it was infinitely more upsetting for the parents of the children affected and the extremely brave Leanne Flynn, without whose interventions, a lot more damage might have been inflicted. So it was catastrophic enough in its consequences. We heard a lot of that over 15 days. But it was also a mixture of horror and heroism. And it was heroism shown by people from all over, Irish people, French people, Brazilian people, which was in contrast to those who were trying to exploit it later that evening, to stoke up anti-immigrant fervour, which led to the riots in Dublin and burning buses, and how any of that assisted the little girl and the other victims of what happened in Parnell Square nobody really knows. But you were asking about bravery and like some of the Leanne Flynn, the childcare worker, she was in the middle of sipping up a child's coat. The children, a group of about 13 children, were lined up in a queue, essentially against the railings, waiting to be brought to their after school creche by Flynn and another childcare worker. And Flynn was giving up the coat of one of the children. There was a November afternoon when she saw a man just standing there, and he suddenly lunged in a crouched movement towards the five-year-old girl, and he stabbed her in the heart. And Flynn, without any thought for her own safety, just tried to grab him from behind, and there was a tussle between them in which she was stabbed in the back quite severely. It led to her suffering severe injuries, and she eventually lost her spleen. But he threw her aside, and he moved back towards the children, swinging the knife, as Flynn put it. And she tried to grab him a second time, and she shouted, "Somebody help me, he has a knife," and urged the children to run. And she said some were frozen to the spot and some were moving. And amid all that chaos and confusion, and within a matter of seconds, people came forward. Most of them were triggered by hearing the scream from Leanne Flynn and the shout for help. And a young Frenchman, Alan Lorena Gill, he was only 17 at the time, he wrenched the knife from Bushaker's hand, and he made very little in his evidence of minor scratches to his hand and face that he suffered while doing that. A Brazilian delivery driver, Kiel Benicio, he hit Bushaker on the head with his motorbike helmet, and in or around the same time, Warren Donoghue, a Dubliner who had been celebrating his own daughter's 11th birthday party in Burger King, and they were on their way to collect presents, he punched him in the face, and he kicked him when he fell on the ground to make sure that he stayed down. And Siobhan Carney, she was about to go back into the Rotunda pillar room for the inquest into this Dardis fire disaster in which her brother Liam died. Yeah. And she saw across the road something happening, and she heard Satan scream, and she raced over and she jumped on Bushaker's back. And there was other interventions. Oisin Murphy was a cyclist too, hit Bushaker in the head with his bike lock, and another Brazilian man saw the knife in the ground and he took it away. And this literally was all happening. The entire episode took 15 seconds from the time Flynn saw Bushaker produce the knife to when the knife was kicked on the ground. So there was a lot of confusion and a lot of chaos.
15 seconds. It's incredible that it won't happen that short
episode.
Period of time.
Yes, absolutely. And it might explain some of the conflicting eyewitness evidence later, which didn't always tally with the CCTV evidence. And obviously people's memories are affected by trauma and speed, and some of their visions were buses going past. You can only imagine, and just the general chaos.
Yeah, total and utter chaos at the time. The trial heard evidence from the mother of the seriously injured girl. She got that phone call at 12:45 on the day. A creche worker who was crying told her daughter had been stabbed. She ran to the scene. The first thing she saw was her Barbie shoes and her Paw Patrol school bag, and then care or health workers working furiously to try and save her life. Just a scene of absolute, you know, nightmare
absolutely
stuff for any parent.
Yeah, absolutely. And you were struck by the quiet dignity of the child's mother when she was giving her evidence. And that came across in the interview as well. There was no kind of anger or fury. There was a quiet dignity and an overwhelming sadness when she just talked about all the medics trying to save the life of her child lying in a pool of blood on the ground, and and her pink runners stuck in the minds of many people who gave evidence. She said that she thought the child was dead, and it was only for remarkable work by medics at the scene and back in Temple Street Hospital that saved her life, essentially.
Yeah,
but
and that
as we've heard, she was left with life-altering and life-limiting injuries, and she has a very hard road ahead.
Yeah,
herself and her parents and family, obviously.
Yeah, Mary, there was some hearings earlier in the year, I know, in relation to the fitness to stand trial for Riad Bhushkar, and that played out, but the decision was made that he was, despite the fact that he had an operation, and during the trial he displayed unusual behaviour, I understand.
Yes, there was a fitness to stand trial hearing, and the psychiatrist disagreed about his ability to do so. He had a pre-existing cognitive impairment, and he had a surgery for a benign brain tumour in 2021 that left part of his skull fragile. So he was vulnerable to a lot of the injuries that he sustained, more vulnerable to the brain injuries that he sustained at Parnell Square. And as a result of the pre-existing injury and what he experienced at Parnell Square, he now has an acquired brain injury. And he seems, a lot of the evidence seemed to go above his head. He did have assistance of an interpreter, but as defence counsel explained, the interpreter would have to reduce everything to really bite-sized explanation, tiny summaries at various stages. And he didn't really seem to follow the evidence. Like, he laughed inappropriately at times when he was having conversations with the interpreter, and this could be while the court was hearing very upsetting medical evidence about the impact of his actions. So it's not clear exactly how much he understood or how much he was following of the whole procedure. But as you said, the judge had found him fit to stand trial with the assistance of an interpreter and an intermediary. And that's what happened. And the trial ran for 15 days in those circumstances.
Yeah, almost 3 weeks. The trial has ended. He's been found guilty. What happens next, Mary?
There will be a hearing on October the 12th when the judge will hear victim impact statements. That's likely to take some time, obviously, because of all the people affected. So it's not clear whether he will actually impose sentence that day in relation to the all eight charges. The most serious are the attempted murder charges, and they carry maximum sentence of life imprisonment. But we won't know any more about that until October.
Yeah, we certainly won't. Final point, Mary, incredible work on the day and in the days afterwards by your health services responding to the scene.
Oh, absolutely. The court heard from a lot of medics, and the work that was done just at the scene by paramedics, the emergency services, by doctors who were on their way cycling to hospital in some cases, and just abandoning all protocol, as they said themselves, and just arranging for immediate emergency surgery for the little girl. And it was an incredible response, and the bravery and the heroism of those people compared to the people who tried to exploit what happened and to stir up anti-immigrant sentiment later. And the irony of the child herself being the child of immigrants, and the remarkable forgiveness that the mother shown was in stark contrast to the behaviour of some people in Dublin that night.
Yeah, certainly was. Mary, thanks very much for taking time to talk to us in the programme about that and take us through what happened over the last 15 days. Not an easy trial to cover, that's for sure. That's Mary Carolyn, legal affairs correspondent with the Irish Times. And you can read her piece, The Inside Story of the Riad Bujaker Trial, The Horror and Heroism, Parnell Square, in the Irish Times this morning. And the irony should not be lost on anybody of what happened. And some of the people online, some world famous people online, who were urging for Dublin to be burned to the ground in response to this attack, and focusing anger on immigrants when it was an immigrant child who was the one who was most seriously injured in that attack, should not be lost on anybody, and should give you an insight into the motivations and the lack of restraint of the people involved online who were saying those sort of things and encouraging violence. They hadn't a clue of the circumstances of what went on, and they are about as far away from the bravery and heroism of the people who tried to stop the attack, and indeed did stop the attack from getting much worse, as it could have been. So that should inform everybody of what happened that day and what happened in the aftermath, and the people who encouraged it without knowing a scintilla of the facts of actually what went on in Parnell Square that day.